Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Coming up after 2:30, we'll have some live music in studio. Bill Grady, singer-songwriter, is going to be here. Lindsey Cochran, they are both part of Great Moments in Vinyl, performing the live Allman Brothers Band album. And that's this Friday at Martyrs, 3855 North Lincoln. We'll talk with Lindsey and hang out with Bill and hear some live music. And we're going to talk about going back to school, and we're going to talk about... We're going to talk about Elvis on this, the 40th anniversary of Elvis' death. So welcome back, everybody. So I've got to talk a little bit about snack foods that were originally sold as medicines. And I knew a couple of these. Some of them I didn't know. A couple of them I haven't even never heard of. Dan, you looked at this list. There were a couple of things on here I was like, what are the? What is that?
Yeah, there are some interesting things they were trying to cure.
Yeah.
And find out.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, so first of all, Esmeralda, did you know that Dr. Pepper was, or, I mean, yeah, that's on the list. That's later. Coca-Cola was considered medicinal?
Was it because it had cocaine in it? Is that why?
Well, I don't know how medicinal cocaine is.
I could believe it.
The original intent of Coca-Cola, as you probably know, was a health drink created by John Pemberton. It was sold for 5 cents at soda fountains because people thought carbonated beverages would increase their wellness. Pemberton's company also sold Pemberton's Indian Queen hair dye and Pemberton's Globe Flower cough syrup. Why do I just keep thinking of, like... Was it Esmeralda, that Simpsons episode where they have that, they're going around from town to town selling that the medicine? Was it Mr. Burns doing that?
Oh, I don't remember.
Like he was like in that Say video where they're going from town to town on a wagon like selling like a medicinal stuff. They're ripping people off.
Oh, I can't.
I think there was an episode of The Simpsons where they did that. Maybe Homer did it. I can't remember. But it was like one of these guys, these shysters, you know, back in the day, they would have like this, what they would claim to be, you know, medicinal stuff that could cure anything. And they would go town to town in a wagon and sell it. And it didn't do anything.
Kind of the only one I can think of is the monorail, because that was very much them trying to sell.
Yeah. Oh, that episode! God, the monorail episode is so good.
I can't think of one though. With
I'm trying to think if it was Dan, if you can like look up a Simpsons.
Yeah, the Slaughter is the best medicine. Medicine RX is the other one's popping up.
That's Slaughter.
Yeah. I don't know. That doesn't sound like it's the right one. Though,
yeah,
because that's an itchy and scratchy episode.
Oh, wait a minute! Is it itchy and scratchy? Who do it? Maybe. Maybe it's an itchy and scratchy. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of, Esmeralda. I just remember on The Simpsons at some point, somebody was doing that, selling that stuff.
Right.
From town to town. All right, how about this? Graham crackers. These snacks were invented in 1829 by Reverend Sylvester Graham, who felt the bland food was a perfect prescription for those prone to excessive amounts of, quote, unquote, self-abuse. Apparently, dry crackers would bore the sexual appetite right out of you. Are you kidding me?
Oh, I was thinking like...
drinking and stuff?
Well, yeah, or an upset stomach.
Yeah. No, I think it was a sexual thing. It was like, yeah. So, self-abuse.
Eating a lot of crackers.
Yeah. On this show, we'd go through the graham crackers by the case. So, cornflakes were medicinal. Well, Kellogg was considered a cure-all guy. What the hell was the name of that movie?
Road to Wellville.
That's right. What a great movie. I love that movie. Do you like that movie, Esmeralda?
Yeah, it's a good movie.
It's so weird. It's one of my favorite Anthony Hopkins performances. He's just ridiculous in it with the crazy teeth and the glasses.
My vivid memory is of Dana Carvey sitting at the table. They wouldn't let him go without eating his cornflakes. He just kept saying, I think, like, meat and potatoes.
Yeah. It was a very weird movie. A great one, though. Alan Parker directed that one. It made, like, $1.50. So, of course, you saw it, Esmeralda.
It was on Comedy Central.
It was on Comedy Central a lot. Well, cornflakes was whether cereal as a snack can be debated, but John Harvey Kellogg was looking for something to improve the diet of hospital patients and decided that cornflakes were a great bread substitute that helped digestion and curbed masturbation. What's going on with this? What are we talking about in the 19th century? Were people just masturbating all over the place? What's going on here? They're just That's the second product in a row that was supposed to curb masturbation. What was happening back then? In the early 1900s, was it just people running down the street with their pants off? What's going on? Goo goo clusters during the Great Depression. Do you ever have a goo goo cluster?
Are they like turtles?
Yeah, they're pretty much the same thing. They're like big versions of turtles.
I maybe not have had an actual goo goo cluster.
Dan, you've had a goo goo cluster, but there, I mean, you've had a turtle, right?
I have had a turtle. Yeah. I don't know if I've had a goo goo cluster.
During the Great Depression, these treats were marketed to consumers as, quote, nourishing lunch for a nickel. So during the Depression, spend a nickel and that's your food right there. You get a goo goo cluster, man. You're set for the week. And then you just go home and masturbate, apparently. Fig Newtons. I love Fig Newtons. You guys like figs and Fig Newtons, Esmeralda?
I don't like it.
You know?
Because of the seeds.
Oh, all right.
Don't dig it.
Yeah, but you ate that thing a couple of weeks ago. It was like head full of seeds and stuff.
Had one seed, and it was a giant seed. There are a million tiny seeds in Fig Newtons, and they get all up in your teeth.
They're good. I love Fig Newtons. Dan, you like Fig Newtons?
I do. I can't eat them often, but when I do, I enjoy them.
Really, I like them. Although Fig Newtons are marketed as fruit and cake these days, in 1892, they were considered digestive aids. A lot of doctors thought that digestion problems were the root of all kinds of other illnesses. So you see a lot of digestive aids from that era. They were originally fig rolls instead of a square pastry that we're familiar with now. Shocked they didn't curb masturbation. Absolutely stunned by that. How about this? The Heath Bar. Now, here's something not good for your teeth. I don't know. Let me explain something to you. You guys, Heath Bars, how many people have ever busted their teeth on a Heath Bar?
I love Heath Bars.
So do I.
But I don't bite into them.
Yeah? What do you just bite? You just suck on them?
Pretty.
Oh, God. You know, Friday is coming up, everybody. Did you guys
I just have to replay this entire segment.
Did you guys
take my time eating a Heath Bar?
You didn't do the segments last week?
No.
So we're going to have a lot of them this week, I would imagine?
Yep.
All right. Straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies. Get them coming. Oh, God. It's just I can't even talk anymore. Anyway, the Heath Bars, creators thought the use of the best milk chocolate, almonds, butter, and pure cane sugar was a great pep-up for a person. Yeah, well, yeah.
For a little bit, and then you crash.
Yeah.
Real hard.
Yeah. And then in 7-Up, we just mentioned same kind of thing as Coca-Cola, but it was good for your stomach. 7-Up was supposed to be good for your stomach.
That's still a thing, right?
It's still a thing. There's no question about it. Dr. Pepper, this soda has a similar story, like Coke and 7-Up. It was sold as a brain tonic and a pick-me-up and was available at drugstores to cure all that ails you. I like Dr. Pepper. That's one big thing that I miss, that I don't do the caffeine anymore. Yeah, so.
They have no caffeine, Dr. Pepper.
No, but it doesn't taste the same.
All right.
It just doesn't. I got one more here that we can get to later because it's one that I've never heard of, and it's pretty funny. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. Just one left. All right, we got a break here because we got Lindsay and Bill waiting to come in, and we're going to talk about the Allman Brothers and more. Now, news is next. 312-981-7200 for talk and text, and we're going to get into your favorite school supplies and your back-to-school memories. But I wanted to do the last, you know, we were talking about 10 snacks that were supposed to be medicines. They were sold as medicines. And within that, there was a lot of digestive problems and masturbation problems, evidently, in the early 1900s that needed to be curbed. But this last one, I wanted to mention, because we didn't have time to mention it before the guys came, is McVitie's McVitie's?
McVitie's.
McVitie's Digestive Biscuits.
Oh, I have a friend. He's from England. And he freaked out when he saw them. They sell them at Jeans.
Mm-hmm.
He loves those things.
Well, they're still sold under the name Digestive Biscuits.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
There's a package in my cabinet at home, actually.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
Eileen's dad loved them with his tea, so we have a package.
You know my friend. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's cool. Was Eileen's dad from the old country?
Yeah.
Oh, he was. He was what part of Ireland?
Yeah, I believe he was Cork.
Cork.
Yeah.
By the way, my friend liked, they were hobnobs.
Hobnobs?
Yes. Because I guess there's different brands.
Oh, okay.
But he liked the hobnobs.
The hobnobs were his favorite. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, calling cookies digestive started with McVitie's back in 1892. Boy, all this stuff is late 1800s, Dan.
Yeah.
Everybody was sick. they couldn't digest their foods. They were masturbating all over the roads. It was just ridiculous.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah, those were the good old days. You can run down the street with your pants off and not digest your food. That's beautiful. Because the biscuit contained a high amount of sodium bicarbonate, the inventor theorized that eating the biscuits after a large meal would benefit one's health. They're still called digestives, but McVitie's now prints a disclaimer on them that says, quote, "The ingredients in this biscuit do not contain any substances that assist digestion." Dan, you got to look at the box when you get home and see if it's on there.
Yeah, next time we do, would Esmeralda eat that? I'll bring it in.
Bring in the digestive biscuits.
Yeah, because I've only had Hobnobs.
Okay.
Which I think they got a bunch of different ones.
Do you like them, Dan?
I do. Yeah, I mean, they're like just and they're perfect with tea. They're like that, just a little bit of taste to them.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Now, do you know seriously what food does digest, does help in your digestion?
What's that?
Pineapple.
Hmm.
Pineapple is a really good thing to eat after a big meal. Do you know that, Esmeralda?
Do you know that pineapple eats you as you eat it?
Well, it also helps in your digestion. So there's probably
the enzymes.
Because there's less of you in there to digest. No, pineapple it aids in digestion.
Wait, so. Huh, Esmeralda?
The enzymes, I guess, kind of eat away at you. I mean, not in like a crate, like, oh no, I'm disappearing. But yeah, they kind of like eat at your.
They eat at your
insides. Yeah.
All right.
So it eats you as you eat it.
I was just trying to tell everybody that that pineapple was good for them, and people now are going to think of the flesh eating disease when they eat them. Now, you're not talking about when you try to eat it without peeling them, right? I mean, just trying to bite through the outside.
Because
that would.
Who does that?
Because that would really not aid in your digestion.
Does that? Who's trying to bite it through the.
Nobody can bite through it. You ever try to bite through a pineapple? It's impossible.
No.
It's impossible.
It's.
Oh, man. Well, Dole stock just went down. Let's just say that.